6 or stream anytime from
5:48. Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Company this Wednesday afternoon. We have been able, but we're back. So for you, it's time to take 25. Pour yourself a cuppa, put your feet up, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. We're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star I see, a vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky. I knew that we'd become one right away. Oh, right away. At first sight, I felt the energy of sunrise.
Great song from Rihanna. I really do like that. Anyway, as I said at the beginning, we've been AWOL. I don't know why we've been AWOL. Isn't it interesting that we've just, I don't know, we just kind of fell off the block for a couple of weeks there. So what have you been up to, Irene?
I know. It is funny, isn't it? Because I totally, completely forgot about having a chat with you.
Well, that's just nice, isn't it?
I'm sorry, my dear friend, you are very important to me. But yes, it was just one of those things where I just totally, I was so busy. I've been very, very wrapped up in, of course, my van, which is like my baby. And I've been too scared to go away in here until I got the heating fixed in here, because I really feel the cold these days.
That was probably the last conversation we had, is where to get your heater fixed. So did you get it fixed? Yes, a bit too ago now.
Yes, I did. You know what I did? I mean, I'm just so proud of myself. I come up with the most amazing, you know, inspirational ideas all these times. I was sort of having so much trouble. I went to all the car places and the camper van places and the house places, and they were all too busy, or, oh, no, we don't do that, or whatever. And I went, you know what? I never had any problem getting anything done when I had a boat. So I went down to the marina, on the West Harbour Marina, and there was this lovely little electrical man down there who installs all these lovely little heaters and boats, and he and I bonded very beautifully, and so now I have my heater fixed. Absolutely wonderful, eh?
Isn't that interesting, just thinking out the square, because I know, I think I sent you too from Jeff, kind of thinking outside the square, going to a truck company because they have all the heaters within their trucks. So you're right, boats as well, when you can't get, just thinking a little bit differently that other people do it. They're just doing it a different way.
Yep, I did try one of the truck companies. It's a big truck company. I was planning on going down to Tauranga. So it's a truck company in Tauranga that does everything, all sorts of things. No, they weren't interested in helping me either. You know, I think a lot of it is also that the really good places do all have a lot of business and are all short-staffed. Nobody's got a full staff. So, and you can't tell me there's that many, immigrants that we're missing in the country. I mean, we're talking about skilled labourers here. So I think particularly with the truck, I've used that truck company in Tauranga before. Really excellent, old school, lovely, lovely guy. Just too busy and just didn't want to take on that sort of work when it's out of the norm, you know? And I get that.
I suppose you're right. You know, we're all kind of juggling through the flu and COVID and everything else. And, you know, you get one person off, then you get a full staff, then another person goes off. And I suppose everybody's just trying to jiggle around and make the most of it as well.
Well, it's not even just being sick with Omicron or the flu. They just literally don't have the staff. I mean, it's really amazing. The more I'm traveling around and popping into places and seeing things, you know, there was a lady while I was out at Murawai, I went into the cafe there for, I had a girlfriend come over and we went and had brunch and lunch and coffee and, you know, and the lady in the cafe said that, you know, there's normally, this is in Murawai, and it's a very small community. And she said, "Norm, I've been here for 15 years and I've never ever had trouble getting staff. The local people are all very willing to pitch in and help and always looking for a little bit of extra cash." And she said, "I just can't get anybody. You know, nobody at all." So she's not opening till, she's opening at 8 in the morning and she's closing at 3 in the afternoon because normally she stays open and does fish and chips and takeaways in the evening. But she said, "I just can't do it all on my own and I just can't get staff." And she said, "In 15 years, I've never had a problem getting staff." So, you know, it's not immigrants over there, so why? You know, I said to her, why? And she said, "I don't know. I just can't figure it out." She said, "I don't know. I just cannot get any staff."
Isn't that really odd, isn't it? And I was kind of talking to someone about this the other day too, and I'm wondering whether the IT industry has a little bit of not to blame, but all of these young people now going into IT, that gaming, you know, where you can make loads and loads of money putting together, you know, all of these different apps and games. Has there been a shift? And this is where the young people, they enjoy doing it, they know how to do it, so they go straight into those types of industries rather than the other industries.
I just don't know. The whole... I think COVID right throughout the world has actually changed the whole dynamics of life. you know. I really do. I'm not quite sure how or why. I can't get my head around it. But for some reason, I really think it is. For instance, at the moment, I'm looking for another place to stay. And it's like everybody's going, oh, my God, Irene, you're moving every year, and it's not even a year. Now it's going to be you're moving every 6 months. And it's just very, very hard at my age to have a place. Now, I have this absolutely amazing flatmate, but his relationship broke up. So he's now looking at different things to do in his life, which means that when this tenancy ends here, he will finish, you know, at the end of September, he won't carry the tenancy on. He does want to take me with him, like the pet pony.
Well, isn't it nice to be wanted?
That really depends. He's got several fingers in several things, and it really depends which one he goes to, whether that's a possibility or not. So, you know, I have to have to keep my eyes out. So I've been looking at various different places. Now, one of the very, very interesting things that I am finding is the number of 20 to 30 year olds who have just bought their own home and are looking for a flatmate to share the third or the fourth bedroom to help pay the mortgage. How, I mean, in my mind's eye, 20 and 30 year olds owning their own homes and they're just in normal jobs. How is this happening?
Well, exactly, it's by renting out. And I've known quite a few that have done that. So while they own their own home, you know, they have to get people in to rent the rooms out to pay for that mortgage, which then they can afford that.
But how are they saving up? By the time they're 20, 25 years of age, how are they saving up enough of a deposit to buy a house that is the most expensive houses in the world? You know, they're nearly close to $1 million. How are they managing to save up that much money by such a young age?
I don't think you need to save money anymore. You just go on credit. I mean, I don't think the word saving is in our young people's vocabulary, is it?
I know, unless you get on one of the government's hardship programs, you know, first home buyers with young families or families at risk or something, unless you get on one of their home hardship programs, you've still got to have 20%. 20% of $1 million house is how much?
About that and a bit more, but is it 20%? I think you'll probably find they can get around that quite easily. And I mean, you know, 200 grand or even, I don't know, people get paid these days. I mean, do some of them save? Do parents chip in? What's interesting now that I see on being advertised is to go in together and buy a house, you know, so you co-own it with your sister or your family or your friend or something else. And I'm thinking, well, that's an interesting kind of thing as well. What happens when you have a bit of an argument and want to split up or when one wants out, you know? I mean, I think I was just talking to someone this morning who, although she's at retirement age, you know, she's still got a mortgage. She said, what happens when you divorce later in life, especially, you know, for the woman, and if you've got kids and you're helping your kids through university, you are still going to have debt at kind of 70, 75. You're still going to be paying a mortgage just because of that big, you know, big event in your life, just kind of stuffing up your whole financial situation. Yeah. So, yeah, you kind of think with these kids being, you know, saying now buy a house together, what happens when one wants out? This is quite an interesting conundrum, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I actually don't think that that's a silly thing. I think if it's family members and they've all got on really closely and well together, it's worth the gamble, you know? At the very most, you have to deal with your differences to try and keep your financial side of it straight. And if it does all fall apart, then, you know, you can always sell that house. You're never going to lose your money on it. You're always going to get your money back, aren't you? So I don't know that I would. I think that's a good option. You know, I actually looked at seeing if there was anybody I trusted enough to go in and buy a house together with. So I did look at that as an option for myself. I chose not to. You know, I for all those reasons that I've just said, I chose not to go down that path. And, of course, once you're 65, you can't get a mortgage anyway. It's impossible to get a mortgage. But 20-year-olds who are buying a house on their own, it just does my head in. When you think that we all work so hard to be able to buy our house by the time we were 30 or 40, now it's sort of... And the ones that did it by 30 and 40 were the ones that had really, really sacrificed and worked hard to get there, you know, so...
We didn't have credit like they do these days, though. And sometimes I do think, you know, this whole credit thing's a little bit immoral because, well, basically, I suppose the younger generation don't see it as credit. They just see it as money. But we see it as credit, you know, and having to pay this off and, you know, that you're always in debt. But I'm sure if we spoke to any of the young people, they don't see it as debt. They just see it as this kind of thing that just gets paid, you know.
And I hear you. And it definitely was a housing market because they only have to hold on to the house for 3-4 years paying that mortgage, and then they can sell it and reduce their mortgage by half just about, you know. Mm. So they only need about 10 years before they're actually mortgage-free with a home once you manage to get that first house on the housing market. I don't agree with that either. I think that's really bad. But, hey, you know, if one of my kids managed to do that, I'm not going to make a big play about it. I'm going to be very happy for them. So I understand why it's gone that way. But when 20-year-olds buying houses, I challenge anybody to tell me that there is a housing shortage.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah. It's just cost, I think. You're right, because, I mean, there are you can drive around and see empty houses as well. And all of these apartments and things, are they all full? I've no idea, but, I don't know. But then again, you know, you do read in the paper, especially with the smaller communities, and Auckland is moving out of Auckland, pushing up, you know, prices elsewhere and taking any housing stock there. Yeah, who knows? Building them is probably more of a problem at the moment than actually ones that are built. with those shortages coming in. But
That's all very interesting, isn't it? I was talking to a builder the other day, actually, and he said, you know, with this whole, I think it's chipboard, is it chipboard thing that they've got a main problem with? Because we've always had, once again, I mean, this is another thing that I didn't realise, but apparently New Zealand's always had a monopoly of a company. Or I'm not saying that the wrong way around, but you know what I mean? There's been a monopoly selling chipboard here in New Zealand. One New Zealand company is the only New Zealand company that sells chipboard. So this builder was saying to me, well, yeah, Kiwi builders just need to get their head around the fact that they don't have to buy New Zealand. I'm actually getting my stuff from overseas. I'm having no problem getting it in, and it's cheaper.
I know, and also, do you know, through this whole jibboard palaver, I saw this documentary, and I, through all of the rest of the stuff that's going, oh, we're short on jib, blah, 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 I've never mentioned this guy, I've never heard this guy mentioned again. So there is a chap in New Zealand who is making jibboard, or the same quality, the same whatever specs you need for jibboard, out of recycled paper, cardboard and everything else. So it doesn't look pretty, but you always paint your board, you know, so you see all the chips of everything else, but he is making it. Now, why is he not being out there and being promoted? You know, I mean, this is great. Bit of recycling coming back into our community. A shortage of what is it? Maybe he's just got so much work that, or maybe the councils have decided, no, this is not a good enough spec or whatever. I don't know. But I just thought this guy's doing amazing, you know, and, yeah, haven't heard him mentioned again apart from this one little snippet that we heard about.
Yeah. I keep coming across those little things too, and every time I ask that person, I say, why is your name not being put out there? Why are we not hearing about you in the news? Why can we not get you up first and when we Google? You know, when we put in Jibboard, we only get all these big companies. Why isn't your name there? And he said, to tell you the truth, I can't really answer that, but I don't worry about it or research it because I'm so busy, I don't care. you know. So I think a lot of these smaller people are getting as much as they can handle, but it's our government and our business sectors that should be putting money into these guys so that they can expand, so that they can be a viable competition to the monopoly, which is the one that's pushing the prices beyond, because monopolies are never good. So how come New Zealand got so many of them?
I know, isn't this incredible? It's been allowed to happen and it's crept, and suddenly we're finally figuring it out, you know, that, oh my God, let's have a look what's happened here. And, you know, you see all these big companies buying that one, buying that little one, buying that little one, you know, snip, 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 and suddenly they are the monopoly. Yeah. And, oh, look what happens now. We've got... Yeah, it's such a knock-on effect, builders going bankrupt because they're sitting there waiting for this stuff. And yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, but we also have a habitual culture in New Zealand. Costco. Let me come back to Costco. You laughed at me with Costco.
You and Costco. Gosh.
I love Costco. Honestly, I fill my car, I fill my van at Costco. That place is roaring. It's about three times bigger than any other petrol station. It's my petrol, my 91, has not been over 2.8, okay? All the other service stations are 3.3, you know, and they go up and down, but they never, ever go under 3. They're always above 3. Costco's got exactly the same cost as everybody else, but they're just undercutting their profit and they are trying to make these guys stop their monopoly. So BP and Lion and not Lion, BP and Z and the whole lot of...
You're getting your petrol and beer mixed up there.
Yeah, I know. Lion and Z. They all, because they advertise for the same people, they all actually start working as a monopoly. In the end, they say, okay, well, we're going to fix the price of this and we're all going to make this nice profit margin. The only one that stayed out of that, what was that company? Was it Gull?
Gull. And Waitomo, I think. Waitomo is, but that's only in certain parts. You don't see Waitomo. Mind you, you don't see Gull around a lot, but those two, I think, tried to come in and do a little bit of, yeah.
And I think they are trying hard because they're not as expensive as the bigger ones, but they're still nowhere near as cheap as Costco. So I'm putting it all out there. I don't want Costco to get any busier, actually, but I go during the week now. I don't go in the weekend because everybody's up there in the weekend. It's like the place to go is to Costco to get you, pull your car up with your cheap petrol, eh?
Interesting. I think they're open in October, are they? The actual store itself. Yeah.
So, yes, well, I am really looking forward to that because once that opens, you wait till you see how things like meat, which is so essential, plummets. You know, it's this whole thing. When you can buy New Zealand meat overseas for nearly half the price that you can buy it in New Zealand, it shows you how much locally we are being ripped off, and you get a company like Costco that comes in and they will make all those other places be more honest. And
so where does it all come from? I presume, is it going to be, I mean, just thinking about the meat, is it still going to be New Zealand meat or is it coming in from somewhere else?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm not going to say New Zealand meat. I'd like to think of that it is New Zealand meat, but if it isn't, quite frankly, New Zealanders have done it to themselves. But if it... I know the biggest thing with Costco, because I actually looked into this a lot when I was in America, the biggest thing with Costco is that they keep their profit margins below a certain level. So instead of having the attitude... we will get whatever we can for it. If that means it's 1,000% profit margin, then great. Costco says, no, our profit margin is set at da-da-da-da-da, and we will always sell within that margin.
And that's because that margin they get, so all of that annual subscription that you have to pay to be a member of Costco's and go shopping there. And that's all we have time for today. Do tell us what you think. Have you joined Costco? Are you using looking forward to them opening and using the petrol? Love to hear your voice. So do pop up onto our Two Sugars Facebook page, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.